live. Woo!
All right. Let's see if I can get my notes back together here. Whoops, that's the wrong one. I don't want to re... Do you want me to redo the one from this morning? Nah. Oh, is it? All right, turn your Bibles, you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. I thought, 1 Samuel, man, I ain't in 2 Samuel tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Starting in verse number 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained good report. Through faith we understood that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray that we might get something out of this message tonight that we can use in our own hearts and our own lives. There's a lot in here, and we just pray, Lord, that you take and help us to get something out of here tonight. And we'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. Title of tonight's message is, "By Faith, Not by Sight." By faith, not by sight. That doesn't sound very interesting, does it? Well, I tell you what, it is interesting. You're going to take and get something out of this, I know. Because I know when I was writing it, I did. And I'm going to tell you a little secret a little later on in the message. But faith, there are more things that we cannot touch, smell, taste, see, or come in contact with. That's what faith is. We can't see faith, can we? We can't touch faith. We can't smell faith. So our senses have no idea what faith even is. We do not have power to overcome faith. Faith is believing something will or has happened. That's what faith is. Just believing something will or has happened. Now, I have faith that there was a universal flood. I have faith that there was. And I also have faith that George Washington was the first president of the United States. I have faith. Why do I have faith that he was the first president of the United States? I never saw him. I never once ever saw George Washington. How many of you saw George Washington when he was living here? Other than Mr. Holcomb. No, I'm just kidding. There's none of us that saw George Washington. So we have to take by faith that he actually was the first president of the United States. Oh, yeah, there's books and history books and things like that. But we still have to take that by faith, don't we? That he was the first president of the United States. You know, I have faith that Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. I have faith that I will have one day eternal life. I have faith that that will happen. Now, faith is something that we believe has or will happen, and we need to understand that. We need to understand what faith really is, and things which we have really never experienced. Now, I have faith that people walked on the moon, but I wasn't there. You know that? You know what? I have faith that Noah built an ark. Now, you know, the kids in school, they say, "Well, were you there when Noah built the ark?" I said, "Am I here now?" They said, "No." "Well, yeah, you are." I said, "Okay." Then I said, "I wasn't there because there was only 8 people on the ark." Amen? They think I'm as old as Methuselah. Anyway, oh, really? Yeah. You know, but I have faith that there was a civil war. I wasn't there. I wasn't there for the Civil War. But I've seen the monuments of where the battles were fought and things like that. And I have faith that has been there. You know, I have faith that maybe someday Brother Will will take and win the lotto. I have faith in that. You know, you may have faith, you know, that I might get done on time tonight. Now, that's a possibility. But then again, it may not be. So you got to have faith, you know. I have faith that someday we may have a new church building. You know, someday we may build a new church building. I have faith that someday we'll do that. You know, these are all things that we hope for, aren't they? They're things that we can get excited about sometimes. I mean, how many of you have thought, now, you know, you need to take and I want you to be honest with me. How many of you have thought what you would do with that $1.6 billion that's in the megabucks? How many of you have even thought about it? Believe it or not, I have. I have. I thought, what could I do with $1.6 billion? Huh? Well, yeah, half of it goes in taxes, but I'll tell you what, for $800 million, there's a lot I could do. I'll tell you what, we'd have some of the richest missionaries to ever live on the face of this earth. You know, that's the first thing they'd go to would be the missionaries and church and, huh? Oh, yeah, man, I'll tell you what, I mean, I have all kinds of plans that we could use that money for. So when you win it, make sure you tithe it, amen? No, I'm just kidding. Right, William? Right, William? Make sure you tie that. Tuck will be happy. But you know, sight is different than faith. Sight is something that we see, that we can smell, something that we can touch. That's not faith. Sight is not faith. You know, I see this baby grand piano sitting here. I can touch it. I can, you know, play it. I can do all kinds of things to it. If I was in orbit around the earth, I could see that the earth is round and it's not flat as they believed until Columbus sailed the ocean blue. You know, if I reached in my pocket and I pulled out some money, it would be a miracle. All I got is a flash drive. Anyway, so, you know, that would be a real miracle if I did that. But listen, so many times we live by sight, we don't live by faith. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about that, why it's important that we live by faith and not by sight. I believe there's some principles that we need to follow if we're going to take and live by faith and not by sight. And I believe these verses that we read earlier are going to take and apply to each and every one of our... How many of you get these dumb telemarketer calls? Oh, they just irritate me to no end. I've got most of them on my do not call list. But once in a while, they'll slip a new number in. Oh, that irritates me, man. So, I went and I have a block, okay, on my phone. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 12 blocks since we've been in church. There's 12 that it's blocked already. And that one got through. So, it's unbelievable. But faith is a substance or basis of things hoped for. Faith is the substance or basis of something or are the things that are hoped for. You know, if I have faith in something, it needs to have a basis to it. Now, if I have faith that something's going to work, I have to have a basis for that. Now, this chair has four legs. It has a cushion on it. It looks kind of sturdy, doesn't it? And, you know, I have a basis by looking at this chair with these four legs on it that this chair probably will hold me if I sit on it. You know, I have faith that it's going to work. You know, I have faith that it just might happen that way. Can I borrow you for a minute, little girl? Can you come here for me a minute? Huh? What's that? Yeah. Okay. Can you? Okay, come on up here. Come here. All right. Okay, now. All right, now. Do you have faith that this chair will hold you? Why? Huh? It seems sturdy. It looks like it'll hold you, doesn't it? Okay, go ahead and try it. Oh. It held her. Okay. Now, okay, she had faith. Thank you. You can sit down. But you know what? Okay, she had faith that chair would hold her. And that's what we have to have. We have to have a basis to put our faith on. Now, you may say, man, you're all wet, Pastor. I don't know what the world, where you're going or anything else. But, you know, I have faith that chair will hold me because it held her. You know, if I jump off this platform, I'll probably break my neck, but if I would jump off this platform, I have faith that floor will hold me. Do you know why? Huh? Yeah. Because underneath it is cement. Now, I believe that floor will hold me. Now, what basis do I put that on? I have seen cement poured. I have poured cement. I have troweled out cement. I have seen what happens when cement hardens. I have taken and driven over cement. I have taken a hammer and hammered on cement, and it is hard. So with that basis, I know that cement will hold me. Okay, so by faith, I would jump off and I would be fine. So we got to have a basis about what we are going to take and believe or have faith in. You know, I have seen the effects of cement, and I've seen things that it will hold and things that it won't. Now, you may say, well, that's good, but it's by sight. No, it's not by sight. It's by faith. Now, I did not see this particular cement that was poured underneath here. I was not here when they poured that cement. I did not see it. I have no idea how many bags per batch they put a cement in, how much sand they put in, how much gravel they put in, or anything else. But I still believe that cement will hold me. I have that faith. I, by faith, believe that it will hold me because of my past experiences. I believe that. I have faith that will work. Now, I have faith that God one day is going to build a good church in Arizona. This is where I'm going to take and share something. This message was written in 2000. I had not given it until now. Because I have the date on it, and it says 6/25 of 2000 is when I wrote this. And I always date things when I don't give them. That way I know that. But I happened to run into a file and I found some old messages. And this is what I had put in this message. That I believe by faith God will build a great church. Now you got to realize where we were in 2000. In 2000, we were over on Highway 79, right across from South Union, in a little storefront, and that's where the church was. And we were praying and praying and praying and praying that God would give us a building. And this is what God gave us. And so we, by faith, and believe it or not, it was by faith, we believed that God was going to give us a building, and He did. You know, and why was it I believed back then that God would give us a church, a big a building? Well, I had seen other churches built by God, and they all had buildings. I have seen many come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in these other churches. I have faith based on what God has done in these other churches, that He will also do it here in Florence. Amen? You know, I have faith a great church is going to continue to flourish here in the Florence area. I have faith that that's going to happen. Why? Because it's happened in other areas. I have faith God will supply all our needs. I have faith that God will take care of everything that He has promised to give us in His Word. Philippians 4:19 says this, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I'm going to stop there for just a little bit. And I want to talk to you a little bit about how faith has worked in this church. In April of 1999, we opened Florence Baptist Church. I'm going to go back 6 months until January of 1999. January 1st of 1999, I got up in the morning and I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to Florence." She says, "What for?" She says, "It's New Year's Day." I said, "I have no idea, but I got to go to Florence." She said, "Okay, fine." I got in the car. I drove from Apache Junction down to Florence. I was down in the park on Main Street there, just right on Main Street. And I was sitting on the bench, and I was praying. I just said, "Lord, I don't know what You want me to do. I don't know where You want me. I have no idea what I'm even doing here today." And there, I got done praying, I looked up, and there was a young guy sitting on the next bench over, and he had a knapsack with him. It was an army bag. And I went over and I sat down beside him, and we got talking. He was waiting for his ride to go to San Diego, to the naval base. So we got to talking, and I said to him, I said, "Well, let me ask you something." I said, "You're in the service." I said, "You could die any time, couldn't you?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "If you were to die, where would you spend eternity?" And he looked right at me and he says, "Sir, I don't have the slightest idea." And so I went through the plan of salvation with him. I showed him that he was a sinner. I showed him there was a penalty for his sin. I showed him that Jesus loved him and died for him on the cross. And I told him he needed to accept Him as Lord and Savior. And I said, "Would you like to take and ask the Lord Jesus into your heart?" And he says, "Yes, I would." And he bowed his head and he prayed right there. When he got done praying, he looked right at me and he says, "Why is it I've lived in Florence all my life and you're the first one that has ever showed me how to get to heaven?" And you know what? It was like God put a spear right through me and stuck it in the ground and said, "Now, this is where I want you." So I went and I said, "Okay, Lord, this is where You want me." Went back home. I was excited about it. Went up to my wife and I said, "Well, I know where God wants us to start the church." She goes, "Where?" I said, "Florence." She goes, "Florence?" I said, "Yeah, Florence." She said, "Okay." So I had taken and I had talked to some other pastors and stuff. I talked to a pastor who had started many churches in California, And he told me, he says, oh, he says, you can't start a church in Florence because there's not enough people there. You'll run out of doors to knock. And I said, oh, okay. And I was kind of down about it. And so I told my wife, I said, well, I guess we're not going to take him started it in Florence because there's not enough doors to knock. And she looked right at me and she says, and, you know, sometimes women have pretty good insight. You know what I mean? And she looked at me and she says, you mean to tell me that the people of Florence don't or can't have the same opportunity to get saved as everybody else? She had a good point. That weekend, I had talked to another pastor from California, from Wildomar, California, Brother Goddard, and him and I, we've been friends over the years. And I said to him, I said, Brother Goddard, what would you do? He said, let me tell you something. He said, when I moved to Wildomar, California, he says, we only had 2,500 people in Wildomar. He says, we started the church in Wildomar. People told me not to start the church there. Right now, he says, we're running over 2,500 every service. He says, if God is planning you in Florence, that's where you need to go. I said, okay. So we did. Now, you got to realize, I prayed, God answered my prayer where he wanted me. And by faith, I said, okay, Lord, we're going to take and start a church. We picked a date, Easter Sunday, 1999. I'll never forget it. We left Apache Junction that morning, and we started heading down this way, and it was snowing. There was snow on the ground all the way, and I looked at my wife. I said, you mean to tell me we left Wisconsin for this? You know, but before that, about a month before we started, actually it would have been in the latter part of March, we did not have a building, we did not have chairs, we did not have a piano, we did not have hymnal, we had Zippo. So I thought, well, you know what, the first service we'll have in the park. So this is how God works when you live on faith. Okay? I had no idea where we were going to do anything. I'm knocking on a door, and this old gentleman comes to the door, and he said, I handed him a flyer, and I said, hi, I'm Pastor Storm. He looked right at me. That was the only thing I got out of my mouth was, hi, I'm Pastor Storm. He says, you don't have a building, do you? I said, no. He says, you go see this woman. He wrote down an address. Go see this woman. She'll have a building for you. And he slammed the door. I said, well, thank you very much. As I looked at the door coming at my face. So I left, and I went over to see this woman. This was on a Tuesday. I'll never forget it. I went up, and I talked to this woman. And she said, well, if something comes up, I'll let you know. I said, okay. Wednesday morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. And it was her. I have a building for you. I said, really? She goes, yeah. I said, when can I look at it? She said, well, come on down. I said, okay. So I came down, met her, and we went over. We looked at this building. It was the old, it had been the old senior center. It had men and women's bathroom in it. It was perfect for what we needed it for. I mean, just identical. It held about, 40 people comfortably, maybe 50. We got 100 in there one time. So I said, what do you want for it? She says, would $400 be too much a month? And I said, no, that'd be fine. Now, we didn't even have a congregation. We had nothing. Zippo. Zero. And so I'm thinking, okay, yeah, $400 will be fine. God will supply it. I have faith. God will supply the $400. Well, hi, Betty. So anyway, we went and we started the services. You remember that? You were there. We started the service. There was Ken and Betty, and there was my wife and I, and my mom and my stepdad, and we had a few other people there. There was about 20 of us that had the first church service. We went from 20 down to 6, the next church service. Next church service, there was Betty and Ken, there was my mom and my stepdad, and me and my wife. That was it. And I'm thinking to myself,
$400 a month, okay? But let me tell you something else. We didn't have any chairs. Some friends of ours came down from Wisconsin to golf for 3 days, and they wanted to take me out for dinner, and so we did. And so when he left, he slipped a check in my pocket. And my wife and I had been to Costco the day before, and we had priced 50 folding chairs because I was optimistic. I thought, 50, man, we're going to have a good crowd. You know what I mean? So we had 50 chairs, and I thought, oh, man, I mean, this is a pretty good chunk of change. It was over $500. And so I got home then. I'd never looked at the check. I got home that night. I pulled that check out of my pocket. It was for $550. We were 37 cents short of 50 chairs. Now, I had faith that God was going to take and give us a building. I had faith that God was going to supply the chairs. And I was ecstatic. I thought, if nothing else, we can show the songs up on the wall with an overhead or whatever, you know. I was just so excited. And I got down and I was praising the Lord, praying. While I was praying, this is no kidding, the telephone rang. And this woman says, "Hi, my name is so-and-so. I live in Goodyear. You don't know me." I said, "No, I don't." She says, "But you know my sister." And she told me her sister's name. And we were real good friends with her sister and brother-in-law. And I said to him, I said, "Yeah." She said, "I understand you're starting a church." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "Could you use any used hymnals? Where can I pick them up?" She says, "Give my pastor a call," and set everything up with him, gave me his phone number and stuff. Brother Gray was his name. And you probably know Brother Gray from out in Goodyear. Anyway, we went and I called him. He says, "Well, can you be here Sunday?" I said, "Sure." He says, "Plan on preaching." I said, "Okay." So I got there Sunday morning. I preached Sunday morning, presented the work down here and preached and everything. And so he says, "You did bring a big truck, didn't you?" Well, all we had was my pickup truck, you know. Well, we put all the hymnals in there. We put a sound system in there. We put the speakers in there. We put the microphones in there. We had everything it was unbelievable what God gave us. We came back. Oh, then they gave us a love offering, too, on top of that. Oh, that was even better yet. So then we came down. We got everything unloaded and everything. And a woman from Wisconsin had sent me some money. And she said, "This is for your new pulpit." So I built that pulpit myself. I bought the lumber and we've had it ever since. But so now we've got a pulpit, we've got a building, we've got chairs, we've got a sound system, and we're ready to go. Amen? And I'll never forget our first service. We had such a good service, and then it started building from there. But you know what? This church has been built on faith. Why? Because there was a basis for it before. There was other churches just like this that started, and they built them on faith. And that's what we had to do. We had to build this church on faith, not on sight. Now, we had absolutely nothing, and we built everything. Everything in this church was built on faith. Now, you know, many times God expects us to trust Him. He expects us to take and trust Him for the things that we do. You know, He's poured Himself into this church. He's poured Himself into our lives of the people who are in this church. He's given us the food that we have. He's given this church the food bank. He's given this church the things that we need to continue to keep this church going. Our faith basis or substance is built on this. what God has promised in His Word. After all, God has promised He would never leave us or forsake us. He promised that He will supply our every need according to His riches in heaven through Christ Jesus. What God has also promised, He has done in our lives in the past. And that's what I was explaining. He's done that all in the past. That's all over the dam. That part of the river's gone already. But it's what's upstream that's unknown. You know, through the 11 in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about men of faith. They call that the faith chapter of the Bible. If you go down through there, you'll see Abel, you'll see Enoch, you'll see Moses, you'll see Noah, you'll see all of these men did things. Why? Because they had faith that God could produce it through them. Now, what else, though, is faith? Faith is evidence of things not seen. You know, if a person is in a trial, there's usually evidence brought against them, isn't there? Now, it has been collected. It has been seen by the jurors. It's been seen by the judge. And it is that which the witnesses had seen with their own eyes. Now, this evidence is of sight. You know, if I saw how God created the world, I wouldn't have to worry about it, would I? But I never saw Him do that. If I saw how rocks were formed, I would not have to have faith that God created them, would I? I saw it happen. But I don't know how it was done, so I have to have faith that God created them. You know, if I could look inside a womb, I could tell you exactly how all of the cells divide billions of times to form a baby. But you know what? I can't do that. So by faith, I have to say, okay, this is how a baby is created. If we can see how something will happen, it's the evidence of sight rather than the substance of faith. And we need to have faith in order to get us through our life. We have to have it. Through faith, we understand. If we have faith in God, we will understand all things. We may not understand them at this very moment, but they will be revealed to us someday. Someday, believe it or not, all of us in this room are going to know almost everything. Amen? One day we're going to stand before God and we're going to know exactly how the worlds were created. One day we're going to stand before God and we're going to say, oh, hi Moses. We're going to know who they are. You know, at the time when our little girl died, we didn't understand why God took her home. She was only 8 days old. And it was a very difficult time for Carol and I. And we couldn't understand why God would allow a little 8-day-old child to be taken away from us. But you know, I couldn't understand why, but it was not for me to ask why. It was for me to ask, what do you want me to use this for? You know, I couldn't understand why so many bad things happen to good people. Amen? Or why so many bad things have happened in the past. It was to prepare me for the future. You know, Have you ever had anything really bad happen to you? Have you ever been in a car accident? Have you ever been, really bad? Have you ever wondered why it happened? Well, maybe it wasn't for you. Maybe it was for somebody else that you could help them through that situation. Amen. That's right, Brother Dana. You know, when our child died, we didn't know why God did it, but you know what? We've helped hundreds of people who have lost babies over the years. In fact, I was just in contact with my cousin's son, David. I shared it on Wednesday night that they had a baby, and it lasted about an hour and it died. And I emailed him. I told him, I said, if you need to talk, call. So he did. And I talked to him for about an hour the other day on the phone. And we cried together. And Diosa died in 1980. That was a long time ago. But yet I think of it as yesterday. You never forget. You never forget. You know, I don't understand why God loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for me. I don't know why He did that, but He did. You know, I don't understand why God sent me to Arizona. But He did. And we've been here ever since. You know, I do not understand how the sun, moon, and stars stay suspended in space. I don't understand that. But someday I will. Someday I will. I don't understand why. Why? God loves me, and He cares for me, and He takes care of me. You know, how do we receive our faith and understanding? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, we did not have to do anything to have faith. All we have to do is believe. That's all we have to do. If you take and you think of Paul and Silas when they're in prison, the Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What'd they say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. In order to have faith, we have to believe that it's going to happen. I had a pastor one time come up to me, and he said to me, he says, Brother Storm, he says, I have never met anyone ever in all my ministry that has as much faith as you do. In fact, he says, it's 105 degrees out right now. And he says, I really believe that if you had faith it was going to rain, it would. But isn't that the kind of faith we're supposed to have? Faith believing that it will happen. You know, Jesus said that if we have faith of a grain of what? Mustard, we can move mountains. We need that faith. If we can see the outcome of something before it happens, it's not having faith. If we trust and believe that it's going to happen without knowing how it's going to happen, and we start it by faith, that's faith. Romans 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It is faith that saves you and I. It's not what we do. It's not our works. It's not going to church. It's not anything that we do, but it's our faith that will save us. Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, "For we are saved by hope," or by faith, "but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that what we see, then with patience wait for it." You know, it is through faith and not by sight which we have that we can receive salvation. Did you know that? It's by faith that we have, not by sight, that we can have salvation. I need one of you little girls to come up here a minute. Okay, come here. Her and I, we're going to do a demonstration of faith. Okay? Now, do you like candy? Do you? Now, do you think I have a candy bar for you? No? You don't think I do. But do you have faith that I might be able to get you a candy bar? Okay, you have faith. Okay? So you have faith that maybe you will get that. Now, close your eyes and say to yourself this: I have faith. I have faith that Pastor can get me a candy bar. Just say that to yourself. Just say, I have faith that Pastor can get me a candy bar. Okay? All right. There you are. That's how faith works. That is exactly how faith works. We say to ourselves, Lord, I need this. I want this. I want to see this happen. And we say, I have faith that it will happen. And then we pray and we say, oh Lord, can you help me? And guess what? Our faith is counted for righteousness. You know, it's through faith and not by sight that we get salvation. It's not by what we do, but it's what the Lord Jesus did on the cross for us that we can have faith. You know, as Paul said to Titus in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to walk by faith of the Word of God. Amen? Not by what we see, but by what He said. Not by what we see, but by what He said. If we can do that, we can have salvation. We can have eternal life. We can have, believe it or not, many times the desires of our hearts, if we only have faith. We need to walk by faith and by the Word of God that He's able to deliver us from everything that we have in front of us. You know, there's a lot of times when I think of a river and I think of all the water that passes by that river and goes over a waterfall. The water that goes over the waterfall is gone, isn't it? But the water that's coming back down that river is still there. We need to realize that God is a great God, and He's going to take care of us as long as we have faith. You know, faith is the substance of things not seen. But we need to realize this old book has all the answers. All we need to do is go to it, and He will direct our paths. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for what You've done for us tonight. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for loving us so much. Thank You for giving us faith. Father, You know that many times we don't deserve it, but You've given it to us anyway, and I just thank You and I praise You for it. And Father, I just pray now that You'll guide and direct. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, if there's someone here today that isn't 100% sure that if they were to leave this old earth, that they'd be absent from this body and present with the Lord. I'd like to pray for you tonight. Is there anyone like that? Just quickly, quietly raise your hand, put it back down. Anyone at all? Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, preacher, I've been living by sight. I've been living day to day to day to day. But after tonight, I'm going to start living by faith. If that's you, I want to pray for you tonight. I want to pray that God will give you the faith you need to see you through every situation. If that's you, just raise your hand quickly, quietly. Yes, hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Yes, God bless you for being honest. Father, you know our hearts. You know our deepest desires. I just pray, Lord, that we will have the faith that we need to continue to carry us through. There's nothing better than to know that you're there for us and that you can do all things. And I just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's all stand, turn our hymn number 160.